It's only episode 2 of At Least You're Not Me. We're back.
We are back by massive demand.
Massive demand. At least some people listen to it.
Some. Double figures.
Double figures. International as well.
Yep.
Cheers, Dave, for getting bored on holiday. We're back, yeah, and we've got more amazing stories this week for you. It's going to take some topping of the incest and stuff like that.
It's going to take some topping, yeah.
You seem quietly confident today, so I'm looking forward to hearing what you've got in store.
Sadly, Chat Magazine and sort of, you know, Women's Own, and they've let me down.
There's a lot of murder.
It's a lot of stuff you can't really make fun of.
Like, yeah.
It's a bit...
Well, yeah. No, you can't.
Yeah, I mean, you could, but yeah, no. So, I've found this wonderful magazine called the Weekly World News.
Okay.
And it's, you know, it's a bit out there. But it's
a bit, well, the glow on your face and knowing your style and sense of humour would suggest it's more than a bit out there.
Okay, yeah. So, shall we just go straight in?
Yeah, right. Straight in. There's no structure normally. Let's just do this.
Lady Bigfoot kept me as her love slave, Woodsman claims.
Woodsman is not just coming out of a nightclub in Newcastle or something.
No, he's a genuine American lumberjack.
All right, okay.
So, should we go into it?
Yeah, I think we're in. So you've gone all high tech. You're doing it off a device now.
For device,
to
yeah, it's not as smooth.
You've forgotten your roots.
Okie dokie. So, a lumberjack who vanished in the woods 4 months ago. This is in like 1997, by the way, so...
All right, okay. Yeah. Don't ruin the ending.
Okay, yeah, no.
Well, he's telling his story, I suppose.
So. Yeah, so he was... 4 months ago in 1997, has resurfaced with a bizarre explanation for his absence. He says he was kidnapped by an amorous Lady Bigfoot, who kept him as her love slave.
Okay, go with it, yeah.
Macho Paul Stilliard of Ogden, Oregon.
Has he got, like, a handlebar moustache?
They have a sort of a picture. I don't know if it's him as such, but he's pretty macho. He's, like, a bit Desperate Dan-like. He's kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah, he's, you know... He's,
is it like a YMCA sort of parody of a lumberjack, or is it a...
No, but I mean, he is described as a strapping six-footer.
Okay, cool.
So he's a big dude, you know? He's,
yeah, yeah, big woman needs a big dude.
He straps. Yeah, yeah, so... He was traumatised by the experience. The animal used me as her plaything, the strapping six-footer says.
When he says used him as a plaything, does he mean, like, just picked him up and used him as a sex toy, or... Because surely he's got to be a little bit into it to be having her sort of all up on him.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's a strapping lumberjack. He gets lonely out in the woods, I suppose.
I can't imagine a female Bigfoot is, you know, stimulating him with her words.
But then again, she didn't just see him as a sexual plaything.
Right?
No.
Is this another tale of romance against the odds?
No, no, no. Because not only did I have to have sex with her, she made me clean her cave and do other woman's work.
Again, like, I don't know a lot about Bigfoot in general as a fake species, but are they quite demanding and house proud by the sound of it?
Yeah, they're house proud, and also they're quite into their grooming, because yeah, she made her groom him like some kind of ape.
So he had to sit there doing a thing with like picking out
out the ticks and stuff. You know,
it's okay.
I mean, that's
has what? He not just found a hairy woman?
No, no, because, you know, he's resurfaced from the woods.
Right. Maybe she lived in the woods.
He didn't need to say this. He said it was totally humiliating and degrading.
So the best thing to do was get it published.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Now, this is where it gets good.
This is good, though, because this shows if there's ever some sort of, you know, sexual assault, you should always come forward.
Yeah.
You're not to blame for this.
You are. See, your psychic link's coming back, right? Expert call the case... eerily reminiscent of the abduction ordeal of a Washington lumberjack, Leon Verdell, who was hauled away by a love-starved Bigfoot in the fall of 1991. So this is not 1999.
It's obviously just a style thing then, because my girlfriend likes me in a lumberjack shirt.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, maybe just, you know, any kind of female that's that, you know, you either got that kind of thing and that's what you like, that's what you're into.
I mean... Yeah, a lumberjack, it's a look, isn't it? And there's the Monty Python song and all that. So like,
right, yeah. You think the female Bigfoot was aware of the Monty Python song then?
She's probably a big fan.
Big fan, yeah.
Yeah. You know, in the woods of Washington.
While she's hoovering the cave.
Yeah.
Before getting her man bitch round to sort it out for her.
But she might be a serial kidnapper, though. This is, it's not. She's not.
Oh, you think this is the same female Bigfoot?
I don't.
Bigfoot?
A leading expert on the elusive creatures, does they?
Well, that's enough for me.
His exact quote is, I think it's entirely possible we're dealing with the same Bigfoot, given how far they roam.
What's he a leading expert in?
Elusive creatures.
Right, so made up shit.
No, he's a Bigfootologist.
That's not a thing.
It is. Mate, I love Bigfoots. I genuinely wish they're real.
Apparently they are, and they're out raping.
I love Big... I mean, yeah, I...
How can you want something like that to be around? They're sexually assaulting these poor lumberjacks just going around trying to make a living.
They're asking for one of them check shirts, isn't they?
You know, it doesn't matter how he dresses.
Yeah.
He dresses like that for him.
He's begging for it.
He's, if you're out of order, he's walking around dressed like that for him and the trees, nothing else.
I mean, he says it's practical. I think it's just cockish. He's just there.
Always with the check shirt thing with lumber, I suppose. I don't know. Is that so you stand out when the trees are falling?
I suppose so. It's always red and black, though, as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay.
So what I actually found out? You know, vets have to wear a check shirt as part of their uniform.
It's a vet?
Yeah, vets have to wear a check shirt, apparently. Like,
why?
Don't know.
Is that like teachers and doctors have to have shit handwriting?
I don't know, but it's just a thing. It's not really relevant, but
they can't make them do that.
I might be wrong.
I think you're quite possibly wrong.
But it's a thing I heard. Someone told me the other day because we were talking about vets.
Okay.
Right then.
Weirdly, one of the most normal conversations you'll have this week.
Yeah, that's because I'm forced to look at stuff like this for this thing. So Stilliard 34 says this strange encounter with nature began as he walked to his truck after parting company with his 18-man work detail around dusk on May the 12th.
Convenient. Where was he going?
Parting company. Just,
yeah, like, that's... Okay.
They're going to the town. He's going...
All 18 of them. He's hanging around on street corners hoping to be picked off by a female Bigfoot, if you ask me. He's playing... He's got more going for him. Like, he's into this.
You see... You think he's gagging for it now, don't
you? I think he was actually... He was trying to entice the Bigfoot. I'm starting to feel sorry for her.
Okay, well... This is how he says it happened. This is how their eyes met across a crowded forest. Suddenly, this thing sprang out of the bushes, he recalls. It was 8 feet tall and covered with fur and had low-hanging breasts.
So, first thing, straight away, checking out the breasts.
Yep, low hanging. He's judging her. He's shaming her. He's body shaming her.
Body shaming her.
You call her a thing.
She's not a thing, yeah. She's got feelings.
Low hanging. I mean, they're big. There's something to play with there.
You don't know her age. She could be like 80. How do they age? Are they getting to the hundreds or what?
I don't know. What is a Bigfoot year? Like cat years and dog
years?
What's
low hanging Bigfoot boobs? Maybe they're supposed to be there.
Yeah.
Maybe she's had kids. She's just out for the night, trying to get a bit of her time. There with their dad at the weekend or whatever.
Yeah, family's not gone right, has it?
Yeah, it's not really worked out. I mean, she sounds like she's got a bit of OCD around the house. Maybe her husband couldn't deal with it.
Yeah, definitely. Or maybe, you know, these sort of half Bigfoot, half human kids, you don't know.
Yeah, how long was he kidnapped for?
I don't know yet, before we get to that in a
bit. Okay, cool.
I think it was it 4 months? Yeah, 4 months.
4 months. I mean, it's a long time.
Okay, yeah, so he says, he made a run for it, but the Bigfoot chased me down, picked me up like a boy, and carried me off over her shoulder. How'd you pick someone up like a boy?
By the nuts.
Yeah, like a sort of a light thing. Not just boys. Is he picking up boys all the time? What?
Who picks up boys?
Up boys.
Yeah, female Bigfoots.
Yeah. I remember she stank to high heaven. He then says that 2 hours later, when they reached the Bigfoot's cave on the side of a high mountain cliff, there was no doubt what she had in mind.
Well, she had a bit of Marvin Gaye playing. Candles lit around the cave.
Not far off it. She kept batting her eyes and wiggling her hips like she expected me to make the first move.
He was checking out her boobs already, so...
Yeah, and she's dancing for him.
She's gone a bit, she's doing a bit of twerking. Yeah, I've never seen a Bigfoot twerk. That's got to be a thing. That's got to be quite a thing to see.
It would be, wouldn't it? Because like, the sort of the hairs would sort of undulate nicely, wouldn't they?
It'd be quite hypnotic, if anything.
When I didn't make the move, she stripped me, threw me on my back, and raped me.
I mean,
that's his words.
Yeah, I mean...
Or you could say, like, she threw him on his back and she molested him, or she just threw him on his back and just went for it.
No, I think until he's been to court and she's had her say, I don't think he can class it as rape. No. At the moment, it's just an incident and they need to actually get both of their sides across.
Yeah, true. Like, you shouldn't make
false claims. He's had a few beers, gone home with a big hairy bird, and now he's having regrets.
Yeah. She's coming out 4 months later, and that was one hell of a bender.
Someone spotted her in a nightclub, and she goes, oh, do you know Pete, or whatever? And he's going, hey, she raped me.
Yeah, definitely. I wasn't into it, definitely.
No way into it. She threw me on my back. Like, I'm not... If that was me, if that was, like, a 6'7", anything throwing me on my back, I'm not sure I'd be that aroused.
She's 8 foot, though.
8 foot? Yeah. Like, again? No, yeah, that'd do it. Over 7 foot, yeah. I'm back in.
It goes all the way around and back into Hornet, doesn't it?
Between 6 and 7.5 foot, like, that freaked the hell out of me.
Imagine, like, Chewbacca on a skirt. It's got to
Again, if that come bursting out of the wood, I don't care if you're wearing a push-up bra. Yeah, for me down. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I've been to some nightclubs. So.
2 a.m. So all right, what's left?
You ever been out in Cardiff?
Yeah. Yeah, Bigfoot, like, she'd do all right.
What did
yeah.
she smell of?
Just rancid.
I didn't know.
Well, the girl in Cardiff, I don't know.
I didn't know if it was a connection to Smelly Kelly.
No. Leave Smelly Kelly alone.
Oh, she's not. Well, this is a condition. This is more common than we know about.
Okay, yeah, so...
I thought we were going to raise awareness to this, plus, you know, men crying wolf.
Bigfoot. So, Steady Odd says, each day, the she-beast, I mean, that's...
He's so disrespectful to her. She invited him into the house. She's done a dance for him.
Yeah. And she'd forage for nuts and berries while he cleaned the cave.
She's out doing her bit then. She's just a modern woman. Yeah. I'll go out and find the food and I'll bring that. Oh, I'm going to be the breadwinner or the nuts and berries winner.
Yeah.
And when I get back, bitch better have my cave clean.
Yeah. And he's just there. He's tossing out bones, branches, twigs, and other refuse blown in by the wind. So it's air conditioned.
I mean, he's a lumberjack. Can he not fit a door or something?
That's a good point. Or maybe she doesn't like a door. Maybe this.
Maybe the view is spectacular.
Yeah, up in the sort of mountains or sort of Bigfoot feng shui.
I don't know what his problem is, to be honest.
He's all right.
It sounds like she likes it a bit rough. Granted, it might not be everybody's thing, yeah. But
well, if I made a fuss, she'd cuff me hard. Sometimes on the chest, but usually on the head.
Sometimes that's the only language lumberjacks understand.
Yeah, she'd make his ears ring. Driven to desperation, Stilliard says he finally escaped from the ape woman's mountain lair by crafting a primitive rope ladder from branches and vines. I broke a wrist on the way down, but it was worth it to get away from her, he says.
So it was up a tree or something? He couldn't get out? Because I was going to say, you just said she was out all day.
It was a cave. So maybe it's like a hot cave on a sort of on a cliff base, so he's trapped there.
Right, okay.
So, I mean, you know, it's getting more plausible. So, but then he's back in sort of, in society.
Back in society. He's gone straight to the authorities.
Well,
so they can take swabs and stuff like that.
While Stilliard's amazing tales captivated Bigfoot researchers in Oregon, like these the scientists, the scientific community.
Bigfootologists, like, is it?
They are, what are we calling Bigfoot researchers. They're doing research. They're out there in the field taking sort of...
Again, who's paying for this? That's a job.
I don't think it's a job. I think it's a calling.
I'm going to research pixies.
No.
Get a grant from the government.
Yeah. Sadly, his wife was less impressed.
All right, now this is the crux of the argument. He's vanished for 4 months.
Yeah.
He's come back stinking of another woman.
Yeah.
And this is what he's come up with on the spot.
With a broken wrist.
Where the hell have you been? I was kidnapped.
She's begun to talk about divorce proceedings. Paul may have been captured by a strange female creature, but could just have easily been a girlfriend, she said.
I mean, and she's the one who's supposed to sound like the wacko in this, yeah. Coming up with that theory.
But, in fairness, he has volunteered to take a lie detector test to prove it true.
I want to know the results of this thing. It was 1997, so I'm assuming they've wrapped that up by now.
Yeah, sadly, it's over.
That's the end of the story.
That's the end of the story. Basically, he came back from the woods.
He's been off banging some other bird for 4 months. That's not worked out, and then he's come back and tried to get out of it, so he hasn't got to find a new house.
Yeah. But there's more to the story, though. It's got helpful tips on, like...
Avoiding Bigfoot rape.
Yeah,
the
jobs most likely to get you raped by Bigfoot are lumberjack, forest ranger, and Canadian Mountie.
I mean, they're quite niche.
Yeah.
I think most of the UK is safe.
Well, it says here Canadian Mountie, so UK Mounties. Breathe a sigh of relief.
Yeah, I mean, wow.
So that's the end of that. That's the weekly world news.
You've got to admire how... I wouldn't say it's the most plausible explanation for where he's been for the last 4 months, but you've got to admire his goal. And then he's just trying to front it out. Like, I'll do a lie detector.
Yeah.
Imagine that on Jeremy Kyle. I'd watch that.
Yeah, but he's kind of like, go big or go home. Where were you?
Oh, yeah, he's had to go. Oh, I don't know.
It's like, nah, just balls out.
Because you think there's a lot at stake, because if he hasn't been to work for 4 months either, he needs a reason. Not only are we going to save his marriage, but also going to help him keep his job. Them trees ain't going to chop themselves down.
And plus he's got Bigfoot AIDS now.
Bigfoot AIDS, yeah. Is that a thing, do you reckon?
I know.
Do you reckon she always wanted it rough, or sometimes she just wanted a bit of spooning?
I mean, I don't know about anatomy, but how large is a Bigfoot sort of vagina?
Well, it sounds like they've got droopy tits, but
yeah,
I don't know about the rest.
I mean, is a human sort of penis going to do it?
Does it work like that with, in general, like if there's, you know, if she's 8 foot, does that mean everything else has got to be stepped up?
I know, because chimps have got tiny sort of witties, haven't they?
Yeah, and maybe she's not been that promiscuous before.
Yeah, so she sort of fashioned a sort of wood dildo sort of before. She's foraged for a wood dildo and she's like, I need the real thing.
I mean, they sound quite advanced. She could have a designer Bigfoot vagina. You never know.
Like a Bigfoot fleshlight.
Yeah.
I bet there's a hairy one out there somewhere. I bet there's some grim, hairy fleshlight somewhere that someone's got.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't want to find out because I don't want that on my internet history.
that's the least of your worries, yeah. I'd have thought.
Yeah, Amazon suggestions based on what you've been viewing. It'd kill you, wouldn't it? So yeah, that's my first story.
Okay, you tend to stick with the freaky sex.
It looks like, right, doesn't it?
Cool. Well, we've got a pattern emerging here.
My other option was going to be I was raped by a horny sea turtle.
Oh, see, now I'm torn.
I mean,
again, a lot of bestiality rape going on.
It says raped. It's more molested. It was a Florida sea turtle was dragging divers to the bottom of the ocean and humping them.
Okay.
And it was going around. It's worse than Jaws.
Who knew when there's a rogue turtle going around? That's the equivalent of going down a dark alley at the wrong time.
Yeah, but no, it's a big turtle. And like these people,
it's still a turtle.
Yeah, they're running out of air. That's the thing.
Oh right, how's he dragging them down? Haven't they got like?
He's on top of them and he's like using his flippers to supposed to clamp onto them.
Can they clamp on? They don't. Oh, I don't know. Yeah,
it's a powerful creature, a turtle.
Yeah, suppose, and horny.
Yeah, just the one though. It was a rogue turtle. Don't want to tar all turtles with the same brush. Most of them, they're good people. They're good.
Well, I don't know.
They're good turtles.
Well, I think we should just all have mass hysteria about turtles now.
Yeah.
Just hunt them all out.
But this magazine is a gold mine. So.
What? I can imagine there's going to be more coming out of that at times.
Yes. So what have you got then? What have you gone for this week?
I bumped into one of my old friends, our old mate Jenny Smedley.
The Smedster.
Smedster, yeah. And she's on fire again. Right. Coming up with some brilliant explanations. This is my favourite. That's hard to say. I've blurted that out, to be honest. There's quite a few things that are alike. Now, we know Jenny Smedley is the person who gave lovely advice to the woman who turned out she was formerly a slave. The old lady who was actually a German doctor called Robert.
Yeah, there was a pattern, wasn't there?
There was very much a pattern with her sound expert advice.
Expert, yeah.
Top expert advice.
So you mock my Bigfoot experts and you got this bird rocking off.
I think you'll change your tune when you hear this story.
Okay, yeah, it's gonna
impress
me.
This will bring it all back in. Jenny Smedley, I would have said, was, you know, losing a little bit of credibility with us two at the very least last time.
Yep.
I think she turns it back around now.
Okay, go for it.
Dear Jenny, recently I sensed I knew the tragic Janis Joplin. You'll have to Google that, kids, not everyone's gonna know. I feel I was an acquaintance or a friend. That's Cara, 44, from Blackburn.
Isn't she old enough to have known her as a child?
I'm going to get to the answer now.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
And she's looked at the timeline as well as all the psychic stuff that she does. Dear Cara, Janis knew you as Ma, but you weren't her mother. She didn't know you as you died before she was born. You were a singer who influenced her in her formative years, and she thought of you as a friend. As a black woman in those times, life was hard, but you made it. You're now in the interesting situation of having your past life persona as a spirit guide. That'll be helpful when you need her strength. Make the most of it and get to know her.
Ma. It's pretty.
Yeah.
As in mother, sort of short of. It's bollocks, isn't it?
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's...
I mean, can I find this... Give me an artist's name. I want to Spotify check this woman. I want to listen to the music.
Janis Joplin.
I know who Janis Joplin is, but it's her influences.
Okay, well, she was influenced by Ma.
By Ma?
Who was a black woman.
Oh, a black singer.
Black singer.
Actually, be easy enough to find, you know.
Yeah, called Ma.
Ma, okay.
I don't feel you're taking the Smeds, you know, seriously.
It's just, mate, it's rubbish. She pulls it out of thin air.
I like this one as well, all right? This is a bit more real-life one, this is. Dear Jenny, try as I might, I can't get as close to my daughter-in-law as I'd like. I really try to help, but get rejected. What am I doing wrong?
Okay.
And that's Melanie, 54, from Norfolk. So not far.
Yeah, and she's not asking who was I in my past life.
Yeah, yeah. She's not said, I think finding out who I wasn't 400 years ago will help me in this scenario. She's just asking for flat-out advice.
Advice. What's Smedster gone for?
Well, I think Smedster's picked up on this.
Okay.
She's come at a different angle. Your daughter-in-law has past life issues. Not you. You're not the issue, mother-in-law. Who are so famously, you know, known for getting on with with these people. She lived several lives of total subservience and now doesn't feel comfortable unless she has total control over everything. just waged right in. All she did was pandering to her. You're not the problem. Daughter-in-law's a bitch.
Yeah. I mean, this daughter-in-law's name wasn't even mentioned. Does she say more details about who this daughter, this rogue daughter-in-law is, this horrible monster?
Yeah, what a bitch. It's just, I mean, we don't know the context of any of this. This could be an interfering old hag who is like, you know, every 5 minutes, you shouldn't feed the child like that.
Yes.
You shouldn't do this. Have you got Michael's dinner ready for when he's home? Because you know what he's like. You know, she could be this like classic stereotypical mother-in-law. Yeah,
that's not nutritionally balanced. And then just stuck in chocolates.
Yeah. And then flinging biscuits at him. So again, then I found this section on the same page where it's called Jenny's Regression.
Okay.
Now, this is quite... I found this complicated because I'm stupid, but I'm hoping you'll help me get through this. So, I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
So, dear Jenny, my husband Michael and I can't stop arguing, even though I love him dearly. It always starts with one of us picking a fight with a silly reason. Can you save our marriage? Because that's who you go to.
Yeah.
It's Christine, 27, from Carlisle.
Carlisle, Christine, 27. Got you.
Well, soon to be single.
Yeah.
Keep an eye out, Daniel.
Lads up there.
Sense of doom.
Okay, it's not a good start.
My name is Dieter, and I work in a circus. I'm part of a famous flying troupe, and we work without a net. It's 1962. We're superstitious, and today feels wrong, as if something bad will happen.
What is this?
I'm going to have to continue, Dan.
Sorry.
A slip-up. I refuse to give in to it. It's stupid. We will all be fine, but I am wrong. So terribly wrong. One of us makes a mistake, and all three of us suddenly fall. After a split second of terror, the ground, the sawdust rushes up at me, and then all goes dark.
So is Dieter one of her past lives, and that's how he died?
I'm not finished, Daniel.
You said...
Blame game. I'm gone. I'm dead. I can still write into psychics. No. I can hear what they're saying down below as I float above their heads. They're blaming Rich.
Rich. God damn it, Rich.
Fucking Rich. Classic fucking Rich.
Yeah. Oh, do you know what? He had his flaws, but I like Rich.
Hit the floor too. Yeah. They say he faltered, but it's my fault. If I told them of the warning that came to me, their superstitions would have made them listen, following the light. Now I'm fading. I'm going to a light, and as it envelops me, I grow dim as the light grows stronger and stronger. So that's the advice. It comes down to, Jenny says, so obviously the couple was Christine and Michael. Christine was once Dieter, and Michael was Rich.
Ah, of course.
So because not only have they found each other in this life, they were once two blokes that were in a trapeze act in 1962.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Classic tale, isn't it?
Yeah, classic, the oldest time. And the cause of their arguments is clear. Blame was always a foggy issue for them. And Christine, who wrote the letter in, says, yes, that's true! We both thought we'd caused the accident. It's all become so mixed up. We're blaming each other in this life. Now that Jenny's sorted it out, I think we'll be fine. Neither of us was really responsible then, just as we're not today in our arguments.
Man, isn't it Dieter's fault, I thought?
I don't. Yeah, that's why Christine's very sketchy on it. Yeah. She's Dieter, so she's going, actually, turns out no one's fault.
Yeah. No, we're not. No, it's her fault. She's always wrong. She should just back down.
Yeah, but that's not what she's got from this. And I can see where there would be confusion in that as a solution to your problems.
Yeah, imagine bringing it, yeah.
All she's done is given the same bullshit, fake explanation, but split it into categories, so it throws you off even more.
That's mental, though, wasn't it?
You've got to love Smedley.
I mean, although I don't, this, her picture, she just looks a bit smug to me. I don't like her.
Well, a bit like a charlatan.
A little bit, yeah.
I'm a big fan. I reckon we can make her famous if she's not already. She doesn't need the fame, I wouldn't have thought.
She's clearly on the Psychic Network channel or something, isn't she? She's on TV. She doesn't need two mugs like us on the internet.
And just, I'll do one more before I get you to do another one. Okay. Of Katie, who was the one who does a lot about auras.
Auras, yes, with the felt tip auras. Yeah.
I thought you'd like this one because it's about a cat.
I do have a cat.
And you love your cat.
I do.
Love your cat dearly. Dear Katie, my cat Nubbins, who's 8, is only affectionate in our bedroom. It takes two of us to comb her and she growls. She also won't eat if I'm around. That's Debbie, 55, from London.
Okay.
What's your advice?
Rename your cat.
Yeah, that's a start.
I'll be honest, when I was a teenager, we used to call like a euphemism for female... like masturbation, rubbing the nubbin. So every night she's going out there, the two of them are sat there rubbing nubbins.
Takes two of them.
Yeah. So I growls. Yeah, the growler. I just couldn't stop giggling. Like, so,
nubbing the growler.
I'd say you got a miserable cat, leave it alone.
Like, yeah, some do what the fuck they want. Like, that's not right into a psychic advice.
Yeah. Yeah, something a psychic. Is she a pet psychic?
Or is it just as random? It says she just see your aura, but that's 2 weeks in a row where they've written in about a pet now.
Yeah. Maybe she's like sort of trainee. She'll work up to humans in a bit. Is she a top expert or is she just...
Top expert, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, come on.
I can't...
Don't mock this publication.
Okay, so I reckon get some amethyst, put it in a bowl of water next to some ginger and 3 drops of lavender oil.
And set fire to the cat, and if it don't calm the fuck down, just get a dog.
Yeah, get a dog, get a better cat, get a bigger cat.
Get a better cat, yeah.
Because the bigger cat will bully that little cat and it'll shut up.
I mean, that's not quite her advice, but she's sticking a lot with the colour chart.
Or shave it, humiliate it.
She's basically just saying, Nubbin's colours are red and orange. She sees herself as the boss. Yeah, it's a fucking cat, that's what they do.
Yeah, they'll do.
It, you know, she hasn't even explained to her that if poor old Debbie keels over, she'll eat her face. Because they don't care.
Yeah, they go for the eyeballs first.
Yeah. I told you the other week, like, my mum used to have loads of cats, but then she met a man, so it didn't matter anymore.
So what was the advice?
Cats are bossy. Praise good behaviour and ignore the bad. She'll learn to be adaptable. She won't give a fuck.
She's a cat. Because
it's a cat.
She's a cat. I don't care.
And cat, you'll still feed me. You're right. Not only are you that fragile about worrying what the cat's thinking when it, like, you know, it does certain things around the house. It sounds like it's healthy. But not only that fragile, you're wondering about what mood the cat's in with you. You're writing into someone about it.
To a psychic.
You're not at the vet going, oh, is it unusual it won't eat when I'm in the room? You're writing to someone who's going to fucking colour in your picture.
Do you know what? Yeah, I'd ask a vet or an...
someone who knows something about animals. Yeah. I just don't... It's just, the mind boggles for me that people think this is advice. I mean, it's amusing.
Yeah. I mean, these people got too much time on their
hands. Or, even better, she's gone to the vet. The vet's gone, that's a cat, that's what they do. And she's like, you're wrong! I'm going to find someone, you're wrong!
Yeah, she's gone to every single person.
This is the last turn for Debbie, who wants to know. Yeah. It's not the voices in her head. It's the cat.
Yeah, she's never even bought these trashy magazines before. One of her friends has told her about it. Right, there's this pet psychic. Yeah,
she's a top expert.
She's a top expert, really. Oh.
She won't even commit to giving her surname. Oh yeah, yeah. There's a new expert in here called Roy DeLune. Have a look at this picture. I'll put it on the Facebook. He looks like a fucking anime character.
Yeah, he looks like sort of a tribute to that guy from the Mighty Boosh.
You mean if it was an open casket at his funeral? Basically how it looks.
It does, yeah. Well, someone who's sort of heard of him, but not seen him.
This guy's a dream analyst and psychic, obviously. I was just going to ask you, so with these dreams, it's got a load of advice about what it means if, you know, when you dream about having a bath or a shower and stuff. But I don't remember ever having a dream about having a bath or a shower.
It's a dream for many people in Africa, Jason. You're just... you, you know, first world problems. These people, they kill for a shower. I don't dream. But what's the answer? Maybe that's not.
I don't know. I just made me think because I was getting a bit of stick from Laura, my girlfriend, the other day, because...
You don't dream about baths.
Don't dream about baths. I just do it. I'm very proactive when it comes to a bath. I just do it. But no, I was saying, I had a dream the other night. It's happened a couple of times where I think someone's broken into the house, which I think is not that unusual. But my first response is to get her to cover her boobs up.
Yeah, because that will stop a knife.
Yeah, I'm not worried about what they'll steal or anything like that. I'm just like... Don't let him have a cheeky peek. And apparently that's my concern. And then once she's put her top on, she's a bit humpy at this point, I'd imagine, a bit pissed off about having to do it.
She actually does it?
Yeah, it's the only way to shut me up, apparently, in the night.
So you're waking up and you're just like, put a top on.
I think I just get to the point where I'm just sort of nudging like, will you put a top on, that man's watching you kind of thing. And I mean, the joke's on me if I find a man in the wardrobe with a camcorder.
Don't turn around, stop wanking, mate.
Yeah, just put that away. Yeah, so apparently that's weird. Although, when we were on holiday in Cyprus, she had a dream that what it was in the middle of the night, someone was shouting around like near the hotel. So he's obviously, you could tell it's just a drunk bloke's been locked out by the missus or they'd had a row or something like that. So this was sort of going on at about 2-3 in the morning. And she woke up and she's like, oh my God, there's a noise. And in that case, because I'm in control, I was like, I'll go and have a look, see if it's all right. She didn't want me to go outside. She was like, it's a terrorist. I'm like,
yes, likely. Where were you?
Cyprus.
Okay.
Yeah, in the mountains, in like a nice little apartment complex. So, I don't think it's a terrorist, but she was saying, don't look out the window because I don't want him to attack you. And I was thinking, at what point in me looking out the window and going, I can't come out, mate, is he going to go, no, come out now.
Yeah.
No, fine, I'll go somewhere else then.
I'll stab someone.
Come on, let me stab you up. Like, no, you're not going to open it, so I can't come out, so I'm safe.
But can you please write into this guy with your dream about the boobs?
The boobs. I'm going to write into the guy, yeah.
Yeah, because that would be amazing if you can read out your own letter.
Oh, let's do it. Yeah, I'll do that and see. I'll keep you up, keep everybody updated just to see. And I'm sure my girlfriend would like to know why I'm so weird about that. But I have no sense of trying to defend the house or her.
And you don't like putting any bottoms on either. You just like...
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is, yeah.
Cool.
Maybe if I start sleeping naked, I'll be worried about my modesty at that point. Yeah. And then she'll get let off and she can have a full night's sleep rather than me, or the interrupted sleep.
Just covering your bitch tits up.
It's really upsetting because when I was like, I remember being 15 or something like that, dreaming of the day I'd have a woman that was naked next to me in bed. And I didn't think what I'd want to do in the middle of the night is tell her to put a top on.
Yeah. Someone else might look.
Someone else might look at the boobs. Yeah. I feel really ungrateful now.
That is a 15-year-old mentality. They're my boobs.
Yeah, like, my boobs. So, yeah, what else did I find? Oh, yeah. Now, I've got a little theme thing for this.
Oh, okay.
You can guess. Tales of the paranormal.
Normal.
We need a budget.
We've got a budget.
I can't even turn this off. You see what I'm doing there? Yeah, that's the right chair. Tales of the paranormal.
Normal.
Yeah, we don't have to do that every time, but I've got some good ones. So this is Simone, 44, from Glastonbury.
Oh, very sort of mysterious.
Glastonbury. It was 16 years ago when I first felt something was missing. She had children, happy marriage, but the final piece of the jigsaw wasn't there.
Okay. Yeah, cat.
Yeah, she needs cats. One evening, I went to see a clairvoyant show.
That's what it is. It's a show.
We were talking about this a bit. Yeah. It was just a bit of fun. I wasn't particularly interested in the esoteric, but as I sat quietly watching the show, one of the clairvoyants zoned in on me. You have healing hands, she told me. You'll be an angel healer one day.
Okay.
She's gone to not being particularly interested in it to... I was absolutely stunned and very intrigued.
What? You're going to be an angel? Yeah, sign me up.
Angel healer.
Does she heal angels, or is it she dies, becomes an angel, and comes down and heals?
I think people? I'm guessing it's like an angel paramedic. They twist their ankle or some shit and she's
sweeping in, like fixing her feathers.
Anybody knows what an angel healer is, then let us know.
Yeah. Not as good as a unicorn healer, though, is it, to be honest?
Oh, come on. We peaked too soon, we know that. Everybody's realised about 10 minutes into this one we peaked too soon, so let's stop ruining it now. I read up on spiritual healing and practised on my friends and family. One man said my hands gave him enormous relief.
Do you reckon she can even hear it when she's saying that? Or are these people like in on the night? They know exactly what they're writing.
One of my friends had a dog with severe arthritis.
Did she give it enormous relief?
Well, in a roundabout way, yeah. It seemed like a new dog the next day. Wow. So I'm starting to think I've misread this. It's not so paranormal after all, is it?
It's wanking off dogs.
Is it the ectoplasm?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it was the spur I needed.
Okay.
I've been working as a professional healer ever since. I perform spiritual healing and I'm guided by my spirit guides and angels. She sounds like I've got a bit of an entourage.
Yeah, she's like cottoned onto this con.
She wasn't bothered about this at all until she went there that night and thought, look at all these idiots spending this money on tickets. I want in on this shit.
And someone walked up and went, you look like you've got no morals. Join us.
Join us. There's a lot of echoing.
It's paranormal, isn't it?
The thing is, you want to judge the people. Like, it goes on and on and on, and I've kind of lost interest. The thing is, they start saying they've tried to help people with like proper terminal illnesses, and that's the bit where I'm like, you want to wank off someone's dog? That's your business. Yeah. But the minute you're trying to pretend you can clear it,
bother with the chemo. Just let me rub your head.
Yeah, you'll be all right. Yeah, works out all the time for everyone. Let me just rub these hands together. The thing is, you think that they're the nutters, but they're not, because people are paying them.
Yeah, like. They're doing that Mr. Miyagi thing where he slaps his hands together, rubs them and bosh.
But at first glance, you think someone should be running around after this bitch with a net and a tranquilizer gun, trying to like bring her back.
Yeah, she's horrible, isn't she?
Yeah. But, you know, the dog's all right.
That
random bloke who...
If she's cured two people, who are we?
We haven't cured anybody, have we?
Not to my knowledge. Although they say laughter is the best medicine.
Apparently it's a hand job.
Yeah, okay. Do you want to say that? Yeah, I'd rather a handjob than a giggle.
Yeah, well, it depends how you do it. Cold hands.
Cold hands, yeah.
Combine your two favourite things. That's dog hand jobs to go in Bigfoot bestiality. Right. Why was a kid's ghost haunting a sex club?
What, do you want the answer or do you want...
Well, I'm assuming it's in here. I've not really read it, okay. If I'm honest. Let's see how we get on.
Because he's allowed in.
I just, it's the little speech, but you know, they put the little captions in and around thing. And I'm hoping this clears itself out, but it just says, me and John heard a little girl's voice in the sex club. One of the broken dolls suddenly started crying.
Why are there broken dolls in a sex club?
And this is what I mean. We're going to have to get into this just to see if we can clear it up a bit, because this guy looks a bit sketchy, I'll be honest.
So what is it? He does, doesn't he?
He looks like this, again.
Is that a sex club that meant to be?
It looks like a room with a... with some sort of plant in it. And then other than that, it's like a dungeon. Haunted dungeon. Yeah, if anywhere's going to be haunted, giving yourself a dungeon,
yeah,
it's probably a rookie move, if anything. What's that, my mate? John gasped as we walked gingerly through the dark cellar. We'd just come across an enormous wheel with arm and leg restraints attached to it. It looked like a torture device. And that's what it was.
The sex club, again.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Believe it or not, we were on a paranormal investigation in a haunted sex club.
A haunted sex club?
Not just a sex club, a haunted sex club.
If I was going to have an orgy somewhere, I'd want ghosts.
Yeah, and make up the numbers.
Yeah,
definitely. Because who else can turn? How do you even put together that kind of thing?
You know it's a bunch of fucking ugly people in it.
Yeah, I can't imagine there's these like Roman orgies where there's like real hot people in a room admiring each other's physiques.
All there is, and like people I mean you just don't know about, and we're not
I was going to say, yeah, that's a more depressing
fact. We're not part of that world.
Yeah, we're never going to be now. We made our way upstairs, which wasn't any less creepy than the dungeon downstairs. One room had been set up with a dentist chair in the middle.
My girlfriend likes a bit of that.
Dentist chair?
Yeah.
Open wide?
Yeah, she likes. Yeah. Spit or rinse. She doesn't. My girlfriend's an angel.
Yeah.
She'll murder me.
Luckily, she won't listen. Did you just hear something my mate gulped? What's he gulping in a sex club?
You know he's gulping.
You know he's gulping, yeah. I nodded. It sounded like a little girl's voice.
And then I came.
It turns out it was an 8-foot Bigfoot all along.
Yeah. The surprisingly high voice.
Yeah, surrounded by lumberjacks.
Yeah.
Right, anyway. I'm a tattooist by trade, but I've been ghost hunting as long as I've been inking designs. He's trying to sound cool.
Yeah.
It started when I was 17 and got a job in a cinema. In my first day on the job, I saw a man walking along the upstairs corridor. He disappeared through what I thought was a door. I don't want to speculate about this guy, but it looks like he takes drugs. And that would explain some of his visions. Although, I've told you before, I have been on ghost hunts before. My uncle is smack bang into ghost hunts. My uncle, I love my uncle. He's an amazing man. And the only hobbies I ever knew him to have were like fishing. I remember going with him fishing when I was young because I just wanted to do what he did. And I remember catching an eel and a duck. So I'm not sure that... I don't mean that reflects badly on him. I think it wasn't really for me, so I didn't stick with fishing.
What bait were you using to get...
I don't know, to be fair. I was only young. Not the right one, clearly. Yeah. Depends what you want to catch, I suppose. If you want to live like a train of trash, that kind of shit would be fine. So when he started saying he was going to, he's really intrigued by the paranormal and stuff like that. So we went on these ghost hunts. No sex clubs. I don't think you should go to a sex club with your uncle, whether it's for a ghost hunt or not.
Actually, I've got another magazine where...
on next week's That's Life. So yeah, I know these are a thing and not everyone's massively into them. Oh, right, so he's at the cinema, and I went pale. You've seen the ghost, someone said. Nobody knew who the man was, but he'd been spotted by a few people vanishing in the wall. I never saw him again, but the incident kick-started my interest in the paranormal. I joined a few ghost hunting groups. Slag, chucking himself around.
Well, no, you've got a sort of broad... he's gone to a sex club. These people are like broad minds.
The thing, like, when I went on these few ghost hunts and stuff like that. Some of it's quite, like, I would need to see something to believe any of that. And I thought it would just be quite a laugh. And I used to film and it was funny and stuff like that. But there are when you're in pitch black in the middle of somewhere, you probably shouldn't be. You do hear noises that you shouldn't hear. And they do want to stare at your girlfriend's tits.
But when I worked in the cinema, we just had to throw a man out because he started wanking the opening credits to James Bond.
Why James Bond?
Yeah, front row, front and centre.
Which one was it?
Oh, Daniel Craig. I don't know which one it was. It was Skyfall, maybe?
Maybe like Adele's voice or something.
Maybe, yeah. So the lady next to him wasn't that impressed, though, to be honest.
I just don't get why you pay 10, 12 quid getting a cinema and have a wank in the first 30 seconds. Because yeah, even if you don't get caught, he's going to be asleep.
You'd wait for the bong girl.
So they went to a few ghost hunts, basically. A lot of waste of time because, you know, because of them not existing. And they struggled with that.
So you think ghosts don't exist? Or any sort of thing like that? Could there be something which we think is a ghost?
Nah, only because, I only say that, but I would complete. Obviously, you show me anything definitive and I'll go, yep, brilliant, that's amazing. But I would say, in with the technology we've got, in particular with filming and stuff like that, how the fuck can you not find evidence of it if that's going on?
Yeah, right.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, I'd love to be proved wrong because he'd be like, ah, oh, fair play.
Oh, but there's different planes of existence, all that stuff.
Quite possibly. And like I said, I've been on some like really weird places, and you don't know if it's just because you're in a basement at 3 o'clock in the morning in a pitch black.
Yeah.
It's either your mind playing tricks on you or there is stuff you can't explain. Yeah. And I've seen it. And I know people that were there who carried on doing it who had things happen to them that, you know, you can't explain, and they're not particularly drama queens and stuff. So quite possibly, but I just don't get the whole thing. Like, I remember we were one place and it was like it was an old mill or something like that, and then you've got the nutter who walks around there going, there was someone and they were murdered, and then by the 12th room you're in and they say someone was murdered, like, they made bread.
Yeah.
Like, how many murders went on here? Like, come on, behave.
I've seen Midsummer Murders, loads of places. Sorry,
yeah, I've walked through Grantchester or something. I get it. Yeah. Like, anyway, there's been a series. Like, okay, maybe that's based on fact. But yeah, you can literally be anywhere. And I remember being at one, it was like a RAF base or something like that. This psychic was touching the wall of the breakfast room saying she could see a tiger. And I just couldn't help think, like, maybe they had Frosties for breakfast.
Thing is, that would explain it, because, it, like, obviously there's no fucking tigers in a breakfast room, is there?
I mean, no.
What?
But if you are, like, surely that's the bit where you go, nah, I've got that wrong. I'm not saying that out loud. Like, there's got to be some editing.
She's
still
got the courage of her convictions. She genuinely sensed a tiger, and then you interpreted it for her.
Okay, so this guy here, I think he's got proof in the sex room. Right, so they're at the sex club. I decided to take a scientific approach. Now they get to the sex club after he's done all his research and he's had a few false starts with these other groups that aren't as committed to finding the ghosts. Do you find a ghost or do you observe a ghost? How does it do?
I think you hunt a ghost, don't you?
Oh.
Or do you bust a ghost?
How can you hunt something you can't catch?
I've been hunting Scarlett Johansson for years.
Yeah, but without that restraining order, she's fair game.
Yeah.
So then there was a sex club. It used to be a pub, but was taken over by two customers of mine who transformed it into its current incarnation. So a couple of creepy old drunks turned this pub into a sex club.
Nice.
Basically. They were keen for me to investigate it, as some of their clients had reported me seeing strange men in the bar. Yeah, it's a fucking sex club.
There's loads of really normal men hanging around.
Yeah. Oh, there's a guy in a trench coat. I think he must be a ghost. It's always really sticky after he's left. Throughout our investigation, I could feel presences with us. I'd say I'm sensitive. I pick up on these vibrational energies. When I played the recording, there was at 28:13 minutes, clear as a bell, a little girl saying the word ghost.
She just says ghost. She's not very imaginative, is she?
Well, when she saw it, did they have she saw her own reflection?
Yeah.
Ghost! They don't know. They're not aware. They're trapped. Trapped between two worlds.
Like Patrick Swayze.
That's Pottery Will! I'm so close to working out what ghosts are. I think our own fear creates a lot of what we think are as ghosts. The knockings, the things getting thrown across rooms, it's us, not them. Ghosts are like memories or projections from the past. That little girl and the man in the sex club, they're left over from when it was a pub. They have no idea what it is now. Let's hope so.
Yeah, she's haunting. Daddy, what are they doing? Look away!
Yeah, for an eternity of explaining that.
Yeah.
What's every dad's worst nightmare? Yeah.
What's the dentist chair for?
It's where I met your mum.
Yeah. This is how you make babies. That's not how you make a baby, Daddy.
Wrong way up!
Yeah.
One day, quantum physics will explain it all. But until then, there's just me and my trusty video camera in the sex club.
Yeah, until then. Until the day quantum physics sorts it out. Yeah, to be fair, I do have a couple more little stories with less detail if you want some.
Go for it.
Right, do you want the headlines? Well, Chicken Tonight. Have you seen? Do you remember this story? I found this, I remember this picture. Have you ever seen this picture?
No.
That is a man crushed beneath a rock whilst a chicken is still on his penis.
Still on his penis?
Yes, he died mid-chicken sex, crushed by a boulder.
Is that karma?
Yeah.
Is it not safer places to have sex with chickens, if that's your thing?
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of animal rape going on here.
Yeah, because apparently...
Well, that's one back for us, isn't it, by the sound of it?
Yeah. Fuck you, Bigfoot. Yeah, we can do it too.
It's all even. Yeah, but apparently they reckon that like the motion of him banging this chicken is what sort of made the rock tumble on top of him. So he's
He was vigorous with this old chicken then.
Yeah, his poor chicken. Says also, yeah, the chicken died as well, sadly.
Of a broken heart.
Yeah. There's one really weird egg comes out of it. Okay, yeah. So then I've got the rest of it. Blanket coverage.
Is this about someone having sex with an animal or an animal having sex with someone? Because there's been a lot of that.
No. This is when a 60-year-old man failed to turn up. They've got no names, these stories, so it's not the same detail that you get in a chat magazine or a Weekly World News, but...
Oh, yeah, cool. They're just, yeah, more interested in the facts.
Yeah, so sort of, yeah. When a 60-year-old man failed to turn up for work one day, his employer notified the police who searched his flat. There, in a room he had previously forbidden anyone to enter, they found him dead, rolled up in a total of 14 blankets. At first, they suspected murder, although further investigation showed that in the middle, he had been masturbating in the middle of his human Swiss roll. He had made a pile of several layers of blankets, then rolled himself up in them, and by placing strips of tape on strategic parts of the blanket, he could roll over them and immobilise himself. Although he appeared to have done it before, this time he was unable to free himself and suffocated. Further investigation also revealed that over the years, he had bought many blankets by mail order, and a total of 60 blankets were found in his flat.
So he can have like, what, asphyxie wank or whatever?
So he'd roll up and be in a blanket and then
crack and then tuck himself up?
Yeah. Whilst in a human Swiss roll.
And then one day it went wrong?
Yeah.
Again, it's back to that old thing of like, surely you need someone who, if they haven't heard from you for a couple of days, they come sort of just lay it out properly, put a suicide note there or something.
It's also, like, again, just, do you need to do that to get your rocks off?
I mean,
how do you work up to that? One day, you're in one blanket. You're like, oh, that's all right. It's nice and snug in here. And do you work your way up to?
I almost get it when it's famous people because they must have like must be so easy to meet women and get them or men and sleep with them. So they must get to the point where they're just bored of it and it's like, right, do something different now. I've shagged groupies for the last 20 years every night. Now shove an orange in my mouth and hang me from the doorknob.
Upon investigating a fire in Knoxville, Tennessee, firemen found in a room plastered with heavy metal posters the nude body of a 16-year-old boy with a cow's heart attached to his genitals. Initial suspicions of a ritual murder were dismissed when a copy of the underground magazine Ovid Now, they discovered instructions for the construction of a sex toy made from a fresh cow's heart and an electrical circuit powered by batteries, which makes the heart beat. Unfortunately, the boy had plugged his stimulator into the mains and like set his house on fire
because he's plugged through his penis.
Yeah, because it's meant to be on a 9-volt battery, and he's plugged it to 240, and it's just gone.
That's a hard way to find out you've done that wrong.
Yeah, and again, at least his mum didn't come home to fight and catch him.
Yeah, but they figured it out and told her anyway. Surely, if you're the investigator there, you go, he's had a go, lad.
Yeah,
let's just say it's an electrical fault.
Yeah.
Now, not only have they got to deal with the crushing loss, they've got to know he was a pervert or an innovator. Depends how you look at it.
Yeah.
Right. Uplifting story.
This is a lovely story.
About a man shagging a pig.
No.
There's been a lot of sex with animals and stuff.
It's a wedding. They're a couple, they're together for 10 years and then they finally tie the knot.
Oh,
it's
lovely. Come on then, I mean, this brings some romance to their lives, to the listeners.
It's lovely. His name is Def Yingyun. He's from Thailand. He's a TV producer. And he married his girlfriend of 10 years. Sadly, he did it after she died.
What?
She was hit by a car.
And this is the uplifting one, mate.
Yes, but they got married despite the odds. He didn't let death stand in his way. He said he loved her so much that even though she was dead, he married her. And there's photos, they're everywhere, it's lovely.
Of him and and a corpse?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's loads. Let me show you.
Oh, you asked me this earlier. Is this why... right, I understand now.
Yeah, I mean, it's everywhere.
So when you said, can we put pictures of a dead body on the Facebook page, this is what you meant?
Actually, no. Oh, my God. there's a different reason. Because basically, like, if you look him up on the video, it's a YouTube thingy I'll show you. There's some lovely music as well that goes with this, actually. So look, uplifting music.
Yeah.
There he is. There she is. It's a funeral stroke wedding. Now, obviously, he's got a face mask on because he doesn't want to catch any of her, like...
Dead stuff, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, he's putting the ring on. He's kissing her dead hand.
That's a dead hand.
That's a dead hand. He's kissing her lovely forehead.
Her dead forehead.
But he loves her so much. Isn't like, it's kind of...
I don't want to see the honeymoon video.
Yes. I mean, it's kind of nice, isn't it? Like, you know, through death, I'm still going to marry her because she's the woman I love.
Yeah, I mean, he only had a window of 10 years to propose.
That's what he said. He goes, he felt so bad. Like, he loved her for so much, and he never got to marry her, and he wanted to show the world that she was the love of his life. That even though she's a corpse and she's rotting away, he wanted to marry her.
It will never last.
No. And the divorce will be easy.
Yeah, yeah. She's dead. Raising the grounds for divorce. She's dead.
Yeah, so that's why. That's. But the reason I asked you if you could put dead bodies on the Facebook page is...
because you're a bit mental.
No. It is, because you know, like, they have other videos related to that.
Right, yeah.
So the reason I said that is because there was this video, and it's basically recommended, because I'd watched that video of that sort of...
of the man of the with his, bride, the dead woman, yeah. The necrophilia stuff.
This was the one below it. It said you might also like that, and it's called Beautiful Women in Their Caskets. And it's so weird. What it is, genuinely, it's like a video of dead ladies who look beautiful... in caskets, and this is just out there. Like, this is not on some weird niche site on the dark net, and like
that's just on YouTube.
This is just YouTube, and I didn't search for it. It went, oh, I tried.
You like necrophilia? Why don't you try dead women in a casket? Try this out,
and it goes on for 4 minutes.
4 minutes of dead women.
Yeah,
and that's what 20. It looks like it's like 20 seconds at a time.
Yeah, and I didn't watch. I watched the first 10 seconds. And went, that's a bit weird.
I'm probably alright myself now. To be taken that off.
And it's just. I just thought we should share that. And it's had 1.6 million people have already seen that video.
Yeah.
So again, it's not some underground dirt thing. It's out there.
Do you reckon maybe we don't leave you in charge of the uplifting one from now on?
They were beautiful women, though.
I mean, yeah, as the video says, I'm not going to dispute that.
That wasn't uplifting. I thought...
But they are pretty dead.
Yeah. And you've seen at least one man who likes that type of thing.
1.6, apparently.
Yeah. So
1.6 million.
That was my uplifting story. A man who loved his girlfriend so much that death couldn't stop him marrying her. I know. I think that's pretty good.
Right.
You seem less impressed, if I'm honest.
Yeah. I mean, I heard you saying earlier, I've got an uplifting story. And then I heard me go, oh, that's cool. And then now I feel stupid. Because all you've done is brought us necrophilia. And then a tag to that of just, if, hey, you want to look at dead women... I know a place.
He didn't do anything. He just married her and kissed her dead hand. There's no, like, he didn't, like... consummate.
You don't know, just because that's what he sent out, does that mean it's not even, it's definitely not a real marriage if he hasn't consummated it.
I don't know what the Thai rules are.
Not, they ain't got many by the looks of it, as we well know.
It was a beautiful ceremony. Like, she looked radiant.
I actually...
you got a backup good news story, because you know me too well.
I have got a backup story. This isn't particularly... I wouldn't say it's uplifting, but this is, it just made me laugh. So we sent out a message saying to people, if you want your story to come on here, and I'll be honest, the person I was hoping would get in touch is my Auntie Jules, because she's the unluckiest / luckiest person I know, because bad stuff happens to her, but she always seems to be smiling about it at the end.
That's our full kind of person.
Yeah, yeah. And like, when I was, I told you when I was doing my, she's just always in this mad situation. She's had me as a bingo caller at the International London Arts Fair and stuff like that.
She the one with the animal thingy?
She's the mole who should never have been a mole on the game show Wild Things, I was dressed like a fat boy scout rather than just a fat bloke.
Yeah.
And so she gets, like, bearing in mind, like, on that particular occasion when we were going there, so the idea of that show was that she's blindfolded, dressed as a mole, and I have to direct her through things. She got lost on the way to filming using a fucking sat nav.
Okay,
so odds are against me pretty much. And the final game of that show, you have to catch whoever's in the lead with a net. Yep. So while the five other teams, I think it was, were all running off in this high stakes pursuit for £10,000, Jules made it 3 feet, fell over, and caught herself in a net.
Okay, yeah.
So I love her, is what I'm saying. She's amazing. And there's legendary stories within my family of her, you know, driving around London with, you know, £2,000-£3,000 camera sat on top of her car and it's still being there when she got to the other side of London. And this is the kind of woman we got. So this is what she sent me an email today saying that if I was to tell you all the bad luck stories, it would be like War and Peace. So yep. I'm going to give you the latest one.
Not
one of the top five. Not going to go straight. I'm just going to tell you what's happened recently. And it's always good. So she is having a bit of a rough time at the moment. She works for a company that seemed to have a bit of trouble here and there with paying people.
Okay.
So they'll go, they'll...
Dodgy.
Well, I think it's kind of, maybe they're waiting on invoices or whatever. I don't want to speculate, and, you know. So she's currently a few months without being paid by them, so bit skint.
Yeah.
Can't really do a lot, and obviously has to just sort of act accordingly until they cough up the goods. Now, so she's got the opportunity. Her daughter has offered to buy her a ticket to go and see Depeche Mode.
Yes.
So this is big news for Jules. She's bang up for that. Tickets are £70, plus Emma, my cousin, has offered to pay for some pre-gig drinks, dinner at one of the swankiest hotels in London, nearby, so she nearly bit her hand off. Really excited about this. Just what she needs, bit of bad luck and all the rest of it, given her her pay situation.
Yeah, a nice little sort of break. Working.
I mean, I don't know what she does for a living, to be fair. It sounds like it's a bit supply and demand, but I wouldn't want to speculate.
No, because her bosses will probably come around and break our knees.
yeah, I don't. Yeah, just in case Uncle Tony comes around and starts having a word about things, maybe she's waiting. Just waiting for the next ship, the container of girls to turn up, basically. Anyway, so she's off. Cousin Emma, save the day. Loves her mum. She's going to take her out, buying a ticket for Depeche Mode, take her to a really swanky hotel, a few drinks. Now, Jules is a Converse trainers and a t-shirt kind of girl, wherever she goes. Emma, not so much. Emma is, I think her official title, which she'll probably go nuts at, is yoga guru.
Yoga guru.
Quite often see pictures of her, like, in, you know, in the depths of Iceland doing a yoga retreat with a guru on her back and a minor celebrity in tow. So, moves in different circles to us. Anyway, so she's... Right, so they go to meet... Emma and Judy go and meet her posh chums in this swanky hotel. Straight away, they're duly escorted by the attentive staff to a private member's bar to join the rest of the crew. Auntie Jules is feeling proper important right about now. Forget about your money. I don't need it. I'm above the law. I'm with rich people.
I don't pay for stuff.
Yeah, we don't pay for stuff. I just walk in. That's the money shot right here. Anyway, so after a few tinnies, that's my Auntie Jules.
She's Australian now.
Yeah?
She's Australian now.
I don't know. Yeah, well, I'm just saying, she's not going to walk in and say, show me your cocktail list. Right, it's going to be, give me half a Stella, I'm going to be smashed. Cool. She's a lightweight. Emma and her friends, you know, a little bit more, you know, upmarket in the drink scales. They're champagnes, cocktails, and all the rest of it. Plus a bit of pizza. Get the bill, £700.
It's quite steep.
Quite steep, yeah. So she nearly fainted. She offered to throw in a bit of money. They're having none of it. Looking after your Jules. Everyone loves Jules. All right, so anyway, they decided they're going to go, then make their way to the gig, which was at the Queen Elizabeth Olympic Stadium, Stratford.
Okay.
Right? So they're only 15 minutes away, maximum by tube, right away. Hotel's extortionate, and it's just across the road from the Bank Tube, so she's already got a travel card, she thinks it's no-brainer. Yeah. I ain't got a pen of money, straight on, 15 minutes there, bang, Depeche Mode.
Whatever their songs are.
Whatever their songs. Woo! 80s stuff. Yeah. I bet things were bad in the 80s when they sung about it with synths in the back. Guessing that's kind of the flavour.
I think a lot of people like that Depeche Mode.
Did see a lot of people talking about this on Facebook. Yeah. I'm aware of some of the bits, and some people think it's cool, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
For them. Tube's not a good idea, because they had a celeb in their gang. Do you remember Carl Cox, DJ?
Too right, I'd say.
So, Carl Cox. That's just the circles Jules is moving in nowadays with Emma. So this was totally poo-pooed, and they're one step up from the Tube in terms of they get an Uber.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So Uber turns up because Jules is tiny and Carl Cox
isn't huge.
He's huge. Takes up a couple of seats. So Jules was shoved in the dog compartment at the rear end of the vehicle.
What?
Yeah, this is just Jules.
On the tube?
No, in a car.
Oh, okay.
So I'm guessing what she says by dog compartment is basically the boot or the back of a car with that cage thing.
Yeah.
Relatively short journey, 15 minutes. She's thinking it'd be bearable. Well, anyway, the journey goes on forever. They're over. There's roads, humps. They end up like on the A13. She's literally sitting in the back barking by this point. Anyway, so they eventually arrive at the destination, and it's a wreck in deepest, darkest Enfield, which is about as North London as you can get, practically on the outskirts. However, it was indeed called the Queen Liz Stadium.
Okay.
So Uberman has gone completely the wrong fucking place. So, in Julie's words, given her company, after a lot of ab-fabbing around, we made our way back to Stratford. We made our way back to Stratford as the concert was finishing.
Nice. So she missed Depeche Mode.
She missed Depeche Mode because she was wedged in the boot of a car.
With Carl Cox. That's awesome.
And that's just the most recent thing that's happened to her.
That's amazing.
She is my dream guest. I think we're going to get on there, but I'd imagine we're going to get one of these on here every time.
That's just the latest. I want to hear the best.
That's just, yeah, mate. I tell you, we could, she would just take over the podcast. So But she has chosen, obviously, that was around about the time a lot of bad stuff was going on in London and stuff like that, so she's just saying, you know, actually, life's not that bad.
Yeah, when you compare it to
some... Compare it to some of the stuff going on in London that weekend and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Actually, it turns out she wasn't having that bad a weekend and, you know, shit happens at the end of the day.
Awesome. Well, yeah. If only we could all be more like your Auntie Julie.
If only we could all be more like Jules, fuck all would get done.
Yes. But we'd be happy about it.
It would all be creative when anything did happen. Bless her. Yeah. I think that's anything you want. Right, so we're going to go out with... What are we going out with, Dan?
I think it has to be a bit of Depeche Mode in honour of your Auntie Jules.
Okay, cool. So Jules, turn off now because you're about to miss it.
Yeah.
See you next time.
See you next time.